You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have you with us. Dave Callan and Dave Tindall here and ready and set for the men's Olympics golf. And we've got the John Deere Classic as well yes. to look forward to on this edition of the podcast. Mike Grenham not here this week. Shall we reflect on last week just very quickly first? Russell Knox staking his claim for a spot in Darren Clark's Ryder Cup team with a win at the Travelers. And if you were wondering about Daniel Berger's capitulation in the final round, I actually had a few quid on him on Friday morning.
So that's why,
when he was 20-1. But Knox didn't get any points for his win in the WGC, did he? He didn't get any points for that win as far as the Ryder Cup was concerned. And it's going to be incredibly difficult now for Darren Clark to leave him out, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. It's not the first thing he's done, is it, since he won the WGC? His third top two then. He had two previous runners-up at Hilton Head, which was also a Pete Dye course.
Yeah.
And he was second to Rory, wasn't he, in the Irish Open as well. So Russell Knox, yeah, he's been playing well for a sustained period. And if hat throwing was an Olympic sport, he'd probably win that, wouldn't he? That was a throw that was when he held the winning throw. Putt, yeah.
Yeah, he was great, and he's won an event on the PGA Tour, which puts him ahead of a lot of other potential Ryder Cup European wildcard picks, doesn't
he? Yeah, I think so. You know, he's won in August. It's end of next month. He's a man in form. It'd be silly, wouldn't it, not to pick him?
Long time between drinks for Anthony Wall as well, wasn't it?
16 years.
Yeah,
yes.
He beat Alex Noren in the final of the Paul Laurie match play. Do you think he won because it was match play? Do you think it kind of unburdens a player? Is unburdened even a word?
I know what you mean.
Relieves burden.
Yes. It used to be the case, didn't it, in the Accenture match play, or whatever it's called then or now, when people like Jeff Maggart couldn't win to save their lives in stroke play, change of format, suddenly start winning.
Yeah.
But yeah, Anthony Wald, he's sort of knocked at the door a bit, hasn't he? I mean, I'm glad we didn't back anyone in that event because he would have been my... What?
He might have been last, might he? If you had 63 guesses,
yeah,
so he might have just been picked.
I suppose Noren was backable, wasn't he? But so I wasn't too displeased for Wall to win that because I could just sort of strike it off as well.
I wouldn't have ever got him anyway.
Never got him, no regrets.
Let's get stuck in to this week. 112 years of wait comes to its conclusion.
I'm not that old.
Golf making its triumphant return to the Olympics in Rio on Thursday, and even though some of the game's biggest names have opted not to compete, most of them citing the Zika virus as a reason for not entering, we do have a 60-strong field battling it out for the medals. I wonder whether, Dave, a few of the game's elite will come to regret this decision, because the reintroduction of golf into the Olympic Games has had an undoubtedly polarising effects, but those that have made the trip have seemingly immersed themselves in the experience, and it might not be a major championship or the pinnacle of a player's career, but I can only imagine there's something special about trying to win a medal for your country.
I think so. You look at, say, Justin Rose's Twitter feed, it's all of him doing everything, getting involved, and I think they've missed the trick, some of them. Plus, you know, maybe they're thinking, oh, it'll come round. It's 4 years to wait, isn't it? And yeah, they might not get in next time. So those that have gone are loving it, aren't they? They're embracing it all, seeing a bit of Brazil, seeing all the other sports. Yeah, I think maybe there will be a few sort of regrets.
I read an article that Alan Shipnuck produced. I think he's out there in Brazil for the Olympics. And one quote I found entertaining, and it was from one of the International Golf Foundation officials. And he said, by all accounts, Ricky Fowler is having the time of his life in the village, which, if you had to say there's one player in the 60-player field that is having the time of his life in the Olympic Village, and you had to guess, Ricky Fowler would be a short price,
yeah,
I think
so, yes.
In the market. Henrik Stenson actually heads the market for the gold medal winner here with William Hill. 5-1, the Swede. Sergio Garcia, the Spaniard, 6-1. Justin Rose, you've mentioned. British Hope, 12-1. Ricky Fowler is in there at 12-1. Where do you think that he's going to actually perform his best with all the distractions is open to interpretation. Bubba Watson, 14-1. Martin Keimer, the German, 16-1. Matt Kuchar, another American, 16-1. Pat Reed, another American, 16-1. And it's 20-1 and bigger the rest. The tournament itself, maybe slightly disappointing that it's traditional match play, runs from Thursday to Sunday, 72 holes, lowest score wins the gold medal, second lowest score wins the silver, third lowest wins the bronze, fourth lowest gets sod all and gets to go home.
You sound like someone speaking to Matt Kuchar the other day. He didn't know, did he?
He didn't know what the format was. But it is just like any standard European or PGA Tour event, and maybe that...
Even Thursday to Sunday, yes.
Yeah, maybe they've missed a trick there.
What would you have liked to have seen?
Either match play or team match play. But I suppose the problem with team match play is that some of the nations that are represented here wouldn't be able to get two golfers together of high enough quality to compete.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, I see what you're saying now. It's stroke play. It'd be a bit odd to change it for the next one, wouldn't it? So they're probably set with this now. But I still think it's be interesting and exciting. Wonder what they'll wear. Will they wear sort of colours?
No, they are wearing team suits basically.
Right.
But they look. I've seen some images and they look quite classy.
Yeah.
They're not as tacky as they're less tacky than standard PGA Tour wear.
Right. So they've not just sort of bought them off some fella off the Copacabana who's flogging them for.
I don't think so.
Olympic merchandise.
No, unless he's
definitely official. Definitely, yeah,
definitely official. Definitely official. The course is a Gil Hans design, isn't it? He was chosen to build the course, and it's been built in the Barra da Tijuca zone, and is supposedly going to be in quotation marks one of the most important Olympic Games legacies for sports development in the country. That's the official line, anyway. In the aftermath of the games. And it's a par 71 measuring 7,128 yards, no trees, no rough, just wasteland. It's built on a sand dune, basically. What are your thoughts on the course? Have you had a look into the dynamics of the golf course?
Yeah, Gil Hans or Hansa. Hans, do you go with?
I've got no idea.
Yeah. He said
I've only ever seen his name written down, and right. I've heard him speak, but I've never heard his name.
So Gil Hansa or Hans.
Yeah.
I've read that he's the design philosophy he used was based basically on Castle Stewart, which is very handy because we've just had the Scottish Open at Castle Stewart. So from that, I mean, that being wide fairways, the runoff areas a wasteland, so there's no trees or rough to speak with. So I've based one of my picks on someone with good Castle Stewart form.
Are you looking at Link's form though? Can a course that's built on a disused sand quarry in Rio de Janeiro.
Well, it's near the ocean, isn't it? It's a couple of dunes away from being right on the coast in the ocean, so it is there. Yeah, it's not perfect match, but I think there are things you can take from it. There's the layout of the course and it being its biggest defence is the wind coming in off the ocean. That's what they've said. That's why they didn't want any trees or rough.
And if you've seen any of Mark Chapman's presenting on the Copacabana Beach.
Yes.
It can get windy.
It can get very windy.
It can get very windy, yes. Which is well worth looking at the forecast, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, definitely. And obviously have a think about those who can play well in wind and, you know, do look at open form because you're not just thinking because it's the same territory, but you're dealing with wind, aren't you, there? So I think there's a few clues anyway.
We left a few of the regular golf podcast listeners hanging last week, and there were tweets suggesting who was this player that you were alluding to that was overpriced in the event. He has been
cut, hasn't he?
Snipped in slightly, hasn't he? But it's still a decent price. Just even if he's not one of your picks now, given that he has been slightly cut. Who was it that you fancied last week?
Drum roll, Johnny Vegas.
Yep. Is he still a pick of yours?
He's
been clipped in from 66 to 50.
Yeah, at 66 he was definite green light. Away we go. 50s, Yeah.
Still fair.
Yeah. It's only a 60-man field, and some of those won't be winning as well down the bottom. Yeah, he's two obvious things. He's in very good form, 22nd at the PGA, won the Canadian Open, fourth at the Barbasol with a second-round 60. So he's really, really in good form. And, of course, where's he from?
Venezuela, which is slightly north of Brazil, but it's
yeah, it's South America, so he's playing in South America. I had a quick look at to see if he had any form on the PGA Latino America Tour. He's not played it for a number of years, but his second but last start on there, he did win, actually, in Argentina. So, yeah. I know Portuguese is the native tongue of Brazil, and he would speak a Spanish language, but he's going to feel very much at home in South America, isn't he, I think. So... it's nothing more to add, really. An informed player who's South American.
Yeah. Johnny Vegas in the betting at 50 to 1. Who's the headline pick for you then, Dave?
Yeah, I think this Scottish Open angle. I was thinking, right, who's got some form at Castle Stewart? The one with the really obvious form is Nicholas Kolsarts.
Yes.
Third there twice. Played brilliantly to finish third there. Brilliant final round. Just, was it even last month? Anyway, a few weeks ago. Just prior to the Open Championship. I like his price, 50 to 1. I think he's very, very talented. It's the sort of thing he might just pop up and win, I think. Mm. Bit different. He's got some really good form. Kind of in far off lands in China, he's won. And he's attached to that course, isn't he? In, where'd you call it?
Thailand.
Madeira. No, not Madeira. The one off the African coast.
Mauritius.
Yes, yes. Yeah. He's kind of the club. Well, he's an ambassador, isn't he, for that course? So he can go to far off places and do really well. He played really well there recently, was third as well. So he's got a number of third places of late, which, of course, would get him a medal
yes.
in this one.
Yeah.
We probably need to point out the each way terms, Dave.
We do. We're betting on the medal places. So a third the odds, 1, 2, and 3. So you've got to finish in the top three to get paid out each way.
But obviously, it is a third. So, you know, a third of 50, it's a nice each way.
It is.
A nice medal-y price, isn't it?
It is.
So,
it is.
And as Kolsarts has managed the number of third places, it just tweaks it a little bit more in his favour. So this course, yeah, big wide open fairways. He can give it a smash off the tee. Can handle playing in wind as well. I just think, yeah, it could be a chance for him to pop up and win an event that's a bit out of the ordinary.
So those are your two picks then?
Yeah.
Johnny Vegas and Nicholas Kolsarts.
Yeah, the other one I looked at was Griot.
I think I mentioned him last week when we came off air.
He's got some great form. 13th PGA, 12th Open. Went overseas to Japan recently, was second. Maybe he's just a little bit skinny.
Yeah, I think so. 25 to 1. The one that I've gone for here, Padraig Harrington.
Oh, right, yes.
I like it.
He's loving being there, isn't he?
This is more of a gut feeling than anything else. And I think when there's what I believe little to go on this week, going with gut is as good as anything I've got, basically. And Harrington has actually been influential in... golf being part of the Olympics, he'd love nothing more than to secure a medal for Ireland. He's actually said in some press conferences or interviews recently that he'd rather win gold than another major championship at this stage of his career, and he said that it's kind of sacrilege to say that when you're a golfer, or seemingly, because so many of the game's elite have chosen not to turn up this week.
Probably easy to say when you've won three majors.
I think so, and I think that's why it's easier to, like you said in that interview, because it's my fourth major championship, it's easier to say, oh, I want to win a gold rather than another major at this stage of my career. But he was actually one of a group of ambassadors that helped convince the IOC to include the sport, and he does arrive in Rio in a little bit of form now. He's playing better golf. Harrington shot a 65 in round three of the Travelers last week before falling down the leaderboard on Sunday, but he was perhaps thinking already about the Olympics then, wasn't in contention, and he's actually opted not to play in the Wyndham next week, so he'll miss out on a spot in the FedEx Cup playoffs. But if this is a course that many are saying plays like a links venue...
Yeah, windy.
Windy. Harrington's one man that stands out, and he also might get the best of the weather, because he's got two early tee times, which is weird. He's like teeing off at 7:30 a.m. on Thursday and 9:30 a.m. on Friday, which is a strange little wrinkle and anomaly.
They're in two balls.
They're in three balls.
Well, they can't. I mean, because there's only 60 in the field, the tea times will be fairly bunched anyway.
You'd think so, yeah. I think some do go out in the afternoon. I'm not sure how. Right. I just know he's happy with those tea times anyway, two early ones. And I thought 40-1 was fair on
Harrington. Yeah, I think that's a fair price, yeah.
Yeah, I'd third the odds, 1-2-3.
I'm not attracted to the short prices, even though Stenson's obviously playing great and... Garcia at 6-1. Wow,
that's short,
very
isn't
short,
it? Yeah. Right. I think I can see Stenson. I can see the reason why Stenson is 5-1.
Quite sure.
When you compare Garcia's price to the likes of Rose and Fowler, should he be half the price of Justin Rose?
That is a strange one to use that specific example. One guy worth mentioning, if you like the Olympics angle, Byung Hun Ahn, Benny Arnie's parents both won medals in the Seoul Olympics. That's brilliant, isn't it? In table tennis.
Strange, isn't it, that?
And that's cool. But
you talk about...
Wait until the John Deere. I've got another one of those.
Have you?
Yes.
And you talk about... We're just discussing Benny Arn here, who is 40-1. Mm. You talk about having incentive to win a medal at the Olympics. If he wins a medal at the Olympics, he becomes exempt from military service, which is absolutely massive, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
So it's... I think it's either 18 or 21 months military service they've got to do for South Korea. And
If he doesn't win it, you'll probably see him entering the table tennis. With get a few tips off mum and dad.
Well, he might do the doubles with Matt Kuchar.
Yeah, he's the best one, isn't
he?
He's
the best one, isn't he?
Yeah, Matt Kuchar's the man to beat.
Yeah, so you think about incentive to win a medal this week in the Olympics. Benny Arn has got more incentive than any other player in the field. And I was reading a story about a Korean footballer. I read it last night on InPlay Radio, and it's been a cast from my memory bank already. But he came on in the... Obviously, they've got under-23s in the Olympics, haven't they, the football? Yeah. And he came on with 5 minutes left of the final match, and that was his first action he'd seen in the Olympics. They won the bronze medal, so he... wouldn't have picked up an Olympic medal otherwise, but did. He was scheduled to do his military service straight away afterwards, and he would have been receiving, I think it's $110 a week they get playing for the military national football side, and instead he made a $2.5 million move to a Chinese club and gets paid an extortionate amount of money now. I'll try and dig the article out and tweet it.
A sliding doors moment, isn't it?
It is a sliding doors moment, precisely. So Benny Arn has more incentive than any other player this week at 40-1.
One other little story. Thong Chai Jaidi apparently wanted to represent Thailand at football. Not this year, obviously. He's knocking on a bit. But in his youth, apparently Pele was his hero and Brazil were his team, and he wanted to play football in the Olympics for Thailand, but here he is playing at golf.
Very good. So just the two picks for you, Dave, in the tournament.
Yes.
I'm endeavouring to find this story about the Korean footballer. I'll dig it out somewhere.
You didn't dream it, did you?
No, I did read it. I read it out loud on InPlay Radio last night. So,
oh, right.
Yeah, I didn't dream it, but that's an interesting one for Benny Arn this week. Shall we move on?
Yes.
The John Deere Classic is the opposite event this week. It's the PGA Tour event, and the favourite is Zach Johnson at 6-1. John Rahm is 12-1. Steve Stricker also 12-1. Daniel Summerhayes is 20s. Kevin Na 22-1. Ryan Moore is also 22-1. Gary Woodland 25s. Brian Harman, Keegan Bradley, Patrick Rogers, Robert Streb, and Wesley Bryan all 33-1, and it's 40-1. And bigger the rest. Changing the scheduling for this event. It usually sits in the slot before the Open Championship, but was moved to accommodate the Olympics and now has to compete directly with the Olympics, which is weird. But little else has changed. Jordan Spieth won with a total of 20 under par last year, beating Tom Gillis in the playoff. And that was his second win in 3 years at the tournament. He's not back to defend. And the highest winning total in the last 7 years at TPC Dearun was 19 under.
Yeah.
And Spieth recorded that when winning in 2013. Fairways, easy to hit. Greens, easy to find. It can become a putting contest. And if you're looking at stats, I was looking at strokes gained putting and birdie average this week. It's quite straightforward, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, basically, if you don't get to minus 20, you're not winning most of the time. And it is, obviously, Zach Johnson's, I think he's got a win and 3 second places in recent times. Stricker won it 3 times in a row. So, obviously, our layers have dived for cover, haven't they, with those prices. 6-1, Zach Johnson. 12-1, Stricker. 12-1's all usually the sort of price Johnson goes off at, isn't it, in this event. But, yeah, they've really taken...
Zach Johnson 2.0, isn't it, this week? 6-1.
Yeah. And then John Rahm. I mean, I know he's good, but he's very quickly become very short in the betting, hasn't he?
I hesitate to say he's Emperor's New Clothes because we know how good he is.
Yeah.
And
12-1 already.
He can make a hell of a lot of birdies. Yeah. I think he'll love it. I think he'll go
close.
Well,
but yeah, it's just
12-1 is it's unbackable, isn't
it? Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
You can't possibly back that at 12-1.
No. I mean, Daniel Summerhayes has got course and current form, but 20-1, really?
I loved him for this week, and I hate the price.
Yes, it's a shame.
And it is a shame. It is a real shame. Daniel Summerhayes was the one man that I saw myself tipping coming into the. Into previewing this event this week, but at 20-1, just another one that's impossible to back, in my opinion, at that sort of price.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I'm sure we'll hear from golf podcast listeners and guys that tweet us saying, yeah, I still like Summerhayes at 20-1, I can still accept that price, but I find it difficult to stomach, and it's the same with John Rahm at 12-1.
Yeah, I think so. Same with Kevin Na at 22s. He's played really well in big events of late, but 22-1, anyone wants ever.
Man that never wins, yeah.
So I think Nara will play well, but I couldn't back him to win.
Have you got any picks in this?
Yeah, so I have got a couple of picks. I did, I think you said, looked at birdie average. I looked at birdie or better percentage, which brings eagles in as well.
Yeah.
If you go through the top 10 on that list, 9 of them are all the big elite players who aren't playing. But at number 11, which is the second, I think Andrew Looper is the highest. He's 10th. He's in the field, but I think he's 200s, but...
Well,
his form's horrible.
250 to 1. Yeah. Well, you know, he missed the cut last week, but led after round one.
That's right. Yes,
and then completely capitulated. So
you could have maybe looked.
Do you go
Andrew
Loop here or Andrew Loop?
I'm probably listening to Snooker Loop.
Yeah, I think it is Loop. Andrew Loop. Yeah, but he's interesting. Andrew Loop. I'm glad you mentioned him at 250 to 1 because. It's quickly forgotten that he led after round one last week.
Well, I forgot, but I knew he was in my mind for some reason.
Yeah, and he is, as you mentioned, he makes lots of birdies.
Yeah.
He just hits the ball everywhere, basically.
Yeah.
And last week, it eventually unraveled for him, but he just smashes it, finds it, wedges it onto the green and puts.
You could look at him for round one leader again.
You could do.
Or you could take that 250s. Anyway, enough about him.
Yep.
So he's 10th on birdie average or better, but at number 11 on that list is Robert Garrigus. He's 40-1 this week, which isn't brilliant, but it's enough in a pretty poor field, let's be honest.
I think it might be, apart from those, I mentioned this as an opposite event, just tongue-in-cheek, with it clashing with the Olympics. But apart from the actual opposite events where they compete with a WGC event, this is the weakest field this season, isn't it, I think?
Yeah, that would seem
to make
sense.
I'm pretty sure. I'm sure we've not covered a golf tournament with a weaker field than this season.
Yeah, so Garrigus at 40-1. As I say, 11th in birdie or better percentage. And his form is really, really good at the moment, Robert Garrigus. Tied 4th at the Byron Nelson, tied 8th at the Quicken Loans, tied 11th at Barbasol. And then last time tied 5th in the Travelers. So he's had a lot of really high finishes. Those four events combined, he's 45 under. So he's, you know, these aren't difficult events where he's making pars. He's making a ton of birdies. Stats wise, 4th for strokes gained approach the green, 7th in proximity to the hole. So it looks like he'll set himself up with lots of birdie chances. Not brilliant form at TPC Adirondack, but he's got 3 top 25s in 5 visits. He sprinkled a few 65s in there. So I think he's got a nice mix this way. I just think he's a confident, informed player making lots of birdies. Mm. That's a fairly simple recipe. And get this, Dave, as well, if you want an angle.
Go on.
His dad won an Olympic medal.
Really?
In Mexico in 1968 in trap shooting. How random is that?
Where did you see that on his Wikipedia page?
It's on his profile,
I think.
Yeah.
Wow.
I guess trap shooting. I guess they all go hunting, don't they? All the kind of Americans. So his dad was particularly good at...
If you're listening and you're American, yeah. By the way, you've just been pigeonholed there by Dave Tindall.
You go through all of PGA Tour profile likes. It's always hunting and shooting.
Well, it sounds like in-play radio was a little bit farcical when I was on last night, but I was suggesting if you could participate in one sport at the Olympics, which one would it be? That was a question I asked last night, and trap shooting was mine. Could do any one sport, because I'm
you've done it before.
I like clay pigeon shooting. I've done it a couple of times before, right. And I'm kind of lazy as well. I don't want anything that I've got to exert myself full year round for. Just stand there and fire. So it's more about hand-eye coordination, isn't it?
Right.
And anticipation, rather than training every single day and
getting
and
up
work.
At form, yeah, precisely. Being sick afterwards.
That sort of thing. Mm. Ice baths. None of that sort of nonsense. Just load your gun and fire, basically. Right. So trap shooting would be, my Olympic sport of choice, I think.
Right. Well, there you go, mate. A little omen there. So Robert Garrick is his dad. Might just say, come on, son. Olympics.
Olympic week.
Yeah.
This is the closest you're going to get to winning a medal, son.
Make me proud.
40-1, Robert Garrigus.
Yeah,
he's
my each way pick there.
I'm going with a Canadian as my selection. Adam Hadwin is my pick at 80-1. I did find the event tricky, and I mentioned from a betting perspective anyway, I know what you need, but from a betting perspective, did mention Daniel Summerhayes, who I loved.
Did Adam Hadwin's mum win?
I've got no idea if he's got any connection to the Olympics.
Speed skating or something.
Hopefully. But his form doesn't look outstanding on paper. He has missed two cuts in his last three events, but missed the cut last week on the number. And I think Deer Run is just the most perfect setup for Adam Hadwin. He ranks 12th in strokes gained putting this season, 30th in birdie average, also on the tour. And played well on his debut in the event last season to finish 18th. He actually played really well from tee to green, Hadwin, in that tournament last year, but the putter was unusually, for him, quite cold. And he's had some good results this season, and it's not much of a surprise to me that his best performance came at the Career Builder, which was the lowest scoring event on the PGA Tour this season, where he got it to 20 under par, Hadwin, but still finished tied for sixth.
Yeah.
That was the week Duffner won, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah.
And his two wins on the web.com tour came in low-scoring events, which probably doesn't mean a great deal, given that they're all quite low-scoring events on the web.com tour, aren't they? But I think this is a nice setup for him to go well. He's not really realised his talent yet. There's still time for Adam Hadwin. I think if he's going to break through on the PGA Tour, it could be this week. So 80-1, I thought, was more than fair.
Yeah, that's good.
Go on, give us your second selection.
Yeah, second pick... it's a guy at 33-1, went to Stanford, broke a load of records. He matched Tiger Woods' record of 11 wins at Stanford. Patrick Rogers, who maybe we've been waiting to really explode and come good, but he nearly did that last week. He was third in the Travelers Championship, fifth for birdie average, fifth in total birdies that week. So he's making his share at the moment. And I particularly like him for this event because he's played it four times before already. He's obviously... is he a sophomore, I think, on tour? But he played it twice as an amateur. So it's one of those ones you often find, don't you, that players might win an event and little backstory says, oh, yeah, this is where I got my break or something.
Yeah.
Patrick Rogers played here as an amateur in 2013, came 15th, which was obviously an excellent result, probably in a stronger field than this. And you can dig out some quotes of his where he's saying this is the most special tournament for me on tour, one of those type of things.
Right.
You think he grew up 4 hours away, which makes us think, well, that's miles away, but in America it's not, is it? So he's got a lot of family and friends who come to the event. I just think he's a player who, if he gets hot, he might just stay hot. He said he's changed coach recently and it's all kind of coming together. He really knows where it's going.
He's just putted abysmally, hasn't he?
The thing. And sometimes you get scared off, don't you? Think, well, why am I putting up a bad putter in a birdie fest where you need? But then you could have said that about Jason Duffner, couldn't you? And he won the Career Builder thingy.
Yeah.
So it doesn't always work out. And often these players who aren't great putters, they give themselves absolutely loads of chances, and they do make mincemeat of these sort of courses.
I think they're going to rebrand it as the Career Builder thingy, by the way, as well.
Yeah,
for next year.
So. Sounds like a sort of a toy store or something. So Patrick Rogers, yeah, 33-1 to take the title. In terms of stats, he's seventh in greens in regulation, so you know fine well he's going to absolutely pepper the greens and the flags. Ninth in eagles, 53rd in par breakers, which sometimes you think, oh, well, that's not, but it's the top basically 25% on tour,
yeah,
which is good. And as I said, he was fifth in birdies last week, so he's making a lot of them at the moment. Another player will come in full of confidence. So I think 33-1. We're slightly aware of how good he is, but I mean, if you compare that to the 12s on John Rahm, I mean, Patrick Rogers is a John Rahm in many ways, isn't he?
He's a John Rahm, but slightly less developed, isn't he?
Yeah, he's just maybe not flavour of the month like John Rahm is. So I think he could become flavour of the month pretty quick, though, Patrick Rogers, if it starts to click.
Yeah.
If you look back to last summer, I think he had 5 top 20s in 6 events. So just a little sign that once he does get hot, he might just ride the wave for a little bit.
I do think John Rahm's going to be unbelievable. I know that swing doesn't look like... It's weird, isn't it? He doesn't get the club anywhere near parallel.
Yeah.
And it's more like he's just got so much power and so much torque in his frame. So
I'm sure you're right, but 12-1, when Tiger won his first event on the PGA Tour, which was in Vegas, you know what price he went off at? 40s.
Did he?
Yeah. And we're being told to take 12-1 on John Rahm. Can't have it.
No, that's fair enough. I wouldn't back him at 12-1, as we mentioned earlier on in the podcast. Any others you want to mention or not?
I was just seeing if Jeev Milka Singh was in the field. Do you know why?
No, go on.
His dad, Milka Singh. This is no joke. And I think it's on YouTube. He actually led the 400-meter final in Tokyo, I think, Rome in 64.
Did he?
Was there one in 64? Yeah, 64. I think it was Rome or Tokyo. Might have been Rome 60, Tokyo 64.
Yeah, there will have been an Olympics in 64, wasn't there?
Yeah, so see, the Rome or Tokyo 60 or 64, and he actually led with, I think, coming into the final bend.
I'll have to
I think he was
out.
Called the Flying Sikh. That was it. And the footage is there.
Right.
I'm sure I once tipped Jeev Milka Singh to be first round leader on the basis that he was genetically programmed to start fast.
And then fared.
Yeah, like his dad did.
Fantastic.
But yeah, there's a strange amount. I guess if people are good at sport, they pass on genes, don't they?
I think that's definitely what it is, isn't it? It's nature over nurture.
Indeed.
On that occasion. Very good. Thank you, Mr. Tindall. Let's recap the selections, then we'll get the player you don't want to win. I've got 2 picks, one in each event. In the Olympics, I'm going with Padraig Harrington, a point each way at 40-1. We are betting a third the odds, 1, 2, and 3. And in the John Deere Classic, point each way, Adam Hadwin. At 80-1 is my sole selection.
Yes, in the Olympics, I will go for a point each way on Nicholas Coulsarts at 50s and a point each way on Johnny Vegas at 50s as well.
Yep.
And then in the John Deere, I shall have a point each way on Robert Garrigus at 40s and, a point each way on Patrick Rogers at 33s.
I've not got a player I don't want to win. Oh, Daniel Summerhayes would be the player
I think
don't want
from
to
what
win.
You've said.
Daniel Summerhayes, 20-1.
Go back
to the
Olympics prices.
There you go. They're on screen now.
As we speak. It's a bit really boring to say, but Stenson probably don't want him to win. Oh, that's terrible, isn't it? Can we even cut that bit out? It's so bad.
No, it's in now forever.
Right, okay. No, I can't say there's anyone who I've come close to backing in the Olympics.
Summerhayes may have been for
but
both
I'll tell
of us.
I'll tell you what, Griot then. Griot.
You mentioned Griot. Yeah. At 25-1. Remember, you can follow us both on Twitter at Dave Tindall Golf and at D Kellner. And do follow Mike as well at M Grenham. I know he tweeted out a couple of bets last week, and I think he backed Russell Henley, who was came very close to
winning
the
leading
Travelers
on the
Championship.
Back nine, yeah.
So do check out Mike's Twitter account. I'm not sure whether he will tweet about the golf, but he could do. So check that out at M Grenham. And we're taking a week off, aren't we, next week?
Are we?
We talked about this.
Is it the mate? Is it?
I thought you said you were in Munich. Are you not going away?
I am, but yeah. It's the D&D Czech Masters, I believe.
It is the D&D Czech Masters.
Yeah, it's a rather low key.
The Wyndham Championship, I think, is on the PGA Tour, I think.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm not going to Germany till Thursday.
Also, we might be able to put something out, perhaps.
Yeah, we'll see.
I won't be here next week on the Golf Podcast, but Dave Tindall might be here on the Golf Podcast. But do check us all out on Twitter. That's where you'll find the Golf Podcast. You'll also find it at audioboom.com by typing in William Hill, and you can check us out on iTunes as well. Thank you for listening to the Golf Podcast. Get your bets on for the Olympics men's golf gold medal winner and the John Deere Classic as well. And we'll speak in the not-too-distant future. Good luck.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey-o, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops, stop.